Lee Heron on 670 The Score.
For the better part of the next 3 hours, I am your voice. This is Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. The Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Guess who joined us on The Score? They're presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. And any breaking news, it happens. Breaking news on 670 The Score is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Robert Triano on the ones and twos for me throughout the evening here. Looking forward to a lot of good Chicago sports gab. Got a lot that's been happening in my world here as of late. Frankly, a little bit more than my schedule would normally entail, kind of getting through December and into January, but you know, with the Bears and all the maneuverings they've been in the midst of and the expanded college football playoffs, still a fairly busy time for the time being, which I don't mind. Busy is kind of my love language, I suppose, just staying busy, staying on the move, trying to stay productive as much as possible. But beyond that, the moments that I can find to sort of step away, get away, do a little something, you know, have some free time here and there. And so my schedule is allowing for a bit more of that. I just came off my final game broadcast of the season down in San Antonio, the All-American Bowl on NBC, which, by the way, it had some big ratings, had millions of folks checking us out on various platforms. So that was very fun to be a part of that and new partnership we have with the Navy there. So hopefully they're fairly pleased with the numbers, the eyeballs that show had. And it's a cool game to be a part of because there ends up being a bunch of the future stars of the sport who play on the field there and then go on to college success and then have moved on to the National Football League. So that's the last TV game that I call of the season for a while. And, you know, like I was telling Dan and Marshall on Monday in my appearance with Bernstein and Harris, that's how I usually kind of cap things off, you know, is I finish the game in San Antonio, I hit the San Antonio airport, and I get my margarita on, you know, where I just kind of, I'm not allowed to kick my feet up, literally, but there is sort of a mental kicking up of the feet where there's a little bit of a respite that's there kind of as that being the unofficial end of my football calendar. So I normally recognize that with the margarita, just like at the end of the Bears season, I'll try to recognize that because it is, at least in recent years, has ended in disappointment over and over again. So I usually mark that by drowning my sorrows in Five Guys greasy burgers. So I just sort of fell into these little personal habits at the end, some sort of individual line of demarcation where something about my football season, my football schedule, my football calendar, it comes to an end. But like I mentioned, we're still plenty busy, as are the Bears. So if any of you out there have interviewed for the Bears head coaching position and you want to give us a call, you can do that at 312-644-6767. It's a very easy way to reach us. If you'd like to just give us a sense for how that interview process went for you individually with the Bears, then feel free to hit us up there. I'm sure Robbie will be able to screen you and take a bit of your information.
Yeah, apparently a lot of people named Bob interviewed for the Bears head coaching job. A lot of Bobs.
A lot of Bobs looking to be the Bears head coach. Well, with the amount of interviews that have been there, then you know what? Interview all the Bobs you want to. Just add them to the list. Every Bob available, especially the meatballiest of the meatball Bobs.
It's been better than Matt lately. A lot of Matt's been flaming out here.
Okay, a few too many Matts. That's true. We've had the flus, we've had Nags. Although Matt Nagy may end up back in the mix somewhere, somehow, some way. I mean, things could have gone worse, I suppose, during Matt Nagy's time, his regime here in Chicago. certainly could have ended better. He started really strong. That was part of the problem here. He won the division and the coach of the year in his very first season, and it was mostly, not all, but largely downhill from that point. So you set a certain standard, certain expectation in the first season, and the hope is that you'll just kind of keep on getting better. Things didn't keep on getting better after the first season with Matt Nagy. But, yeah, that's a valid observation. Last couple of Matts here coaching the Bears, things didn't go so well for them. That's a part of what we'll definitely get into throughout the evening tonight, though, just the list of various candidates, some of the interview subjects that the Bears have been, you know, interviewing, most of them digitally via Zoom and whatnot, but some of them now in person as well, and various degrees of experience and intrigue to a lot of the names that have been on the Bears list here. And that'll be one thing when we get out to my guy, Lou Kanellis. We're going to talk to Lou in just a few minutes and kind of get the latest and greatest from my guy Catfeet about where things sit with the Bears coaching candidates. We'll also talk to Chuck Swirsky a little bit later in the show, voice of the Bulls here, the Hall of Famer, Chuck Swirsky. We'll talk to him. And also with the national championship game, the college football playoff national championship game coming up on Monday night. And it does, with a week and a half in between games, you know, because I do Big Ten radio every morning for Sirius XM, then, you know, just throughout the week, it's like there's been this buildup to the game and you're trying to hit this emotional crescendo. And it feels like just in the standard sort of operation of the week that the game should be getting played Saturday. It's like, okay, we're at Thursday. No, we're still a number of days away from the game. We got a full weekend. Fortunately, there's going to be plenty of NFL action coming up here this weekend, but it's not until Monday night. But to help get us primed for the college football playoff national championship game, and I know a bunch of you out there Notre Dame fans, we're going to talk to one of the voices of Notre Dame football on the radio, Ryan Harris, a former player at Notre Dame, player in the National Football League, and one of the analysts also of the NFL on Westwood One. So there's a lot we'll be able to cover with Ryan Harris throughout the conversation we'll have with him later in the show. I mentioned Lou Kanellis over at Fox 32, and we'll talk to him about the Bears, but Cubs convention, of course, begins tomorrow, and be able to talk to Lou a little bit about that as well, because, you know, the spring training will be upon us here for the Cubs very soon, and so that's certainly where having Cubs convention this season and, you know, the enhanced, I suppose let's call it, enhanced roster for the Cubs. And the biggest news from a convention perspective, even though there's still the hope here that the Cubs will add at some point here another piece or pieces, maybe you get a legit closer, maybe you get a power arm, maybe you get another power bat somewhere at some point. But where the roster sits right now should be expectations for this season, where they're at. Just from a front office and a coaching perspective, there will always be expectations for the Cubs. But, of course, Sammy Sosa being at Cubs convention and being, you know, sort of enveloped by the organization, being wrapped back in the arms of Cubs brass, that was big news. And I got to be over there in Wrigleyville at Rally House just a couple short weeks ago, did a show out there with Layla and, you know, saw plenty of the excitement that was there. Just for the fact that Sammy Sosa will be at Cubs convention and what that'll mean for this organization. Now you think about and I know Robbie, you're a Detroit sports fan for the most part, but like I'd say your age bracket where like Derrick Rose for Bulls fans of, you know, similar age of Robbie Triano, Derrick Rose coming back to the UC and, you know, his jersey, announcing that his jersey would be retired, a huge deal for a number of Bulls fans of all ages. And then for kind of my age bracket from a baseball perspective, what Sammy Sosa meant in the late 90s and into the early 2000s and what he meant to the entire sport of baseball, just feels really good that Sammy Sosa, that he, the organization, they've gotten back to the point where he can now be a part of, be celebrated by the Cubs themselves. You know, he's never forgotten by the baseball world because everybody was there. Everybody watched it kind of like Reggie Bush with the Heisman from USC. Everybody knows Reggie Bush was one of the great playmakers in college football history. Everybody knows he won the Heisman Trophy. But then, all right, let's take the Heisman away, and he wasn't really, you know, kind of allowed to be celebrated by USC for a number of years, and they finally found an accord there where Reggie Bush is now allowed to be the kind of backup part of the Trojan family again. And, you know, that has a similar vibe now with Sammy Sosa being welcomed back by the Cubs. So him being at Cubs convention this weekend, that is a huge deal, and especially considering the fact that there is still – you know, a lot of Cubs fans still hoping there's some meat on the bone for what's going to continue to happen with this roster, with the acquisitions, with the transactions that'll be coming up with the Cubs here. Now, Robbie, I've been to CubsCon, the Cubs convention, a couple of times here over the years. Now, you're from a baseball perspective, you're a Tigers fan, if I'm not mistaken. Is that right?
Yes, correct. Huge Tigers fan.
Now, do the Tigers do anything similar to this? Is there like Tigers Con before the baseball season starts? Do they tend to some sort of a fan formation preseason?
Yeah, we have Tigers Fest that's held in Comerica Park. But last year I went to Cubs Con for the first time to help out, you know, the team there. And I've never seen anything quite like it. Like I walked in not knowing what Cubs Con was and the amount of people there, the amount of excitement, everything. I've never been to an event like that in my entire life.
Yeah, it is a really, really cool event to go. And frankly, just being a baseball fan to the point Robbie's making, it can be a pretty special thing just to witness. If you're able to just appreciate fandom, to appreciate the kind of the majesty of a historic organization like the Cubs, and them having, like, Sammy Sosa will certainly be the headliner. There'll be other great Cubs players that'll be around there too. And of course, here at 670 The Score, we'll be around celebrating all of it. Spiegel and Holmes will be live from 2 to 6 p.m. tomorrow at the Sheraton Grand Chicago for Cubs Convention. They'll be joined on site by Jed Hoyer, Craig Counsell, Nick Alhena, Jameson Taillon, and more. And then Saturday mornings inside the clubhouse with David Haar, Bruce Levine, and Ryan McGuffey will also be live from Cubs Convention from 9 to noon. That show will feature Tom Ricketts, Kyle Tucker, who has reached an accord, you know, talking about reaching accords. No arbitration necessary for Tucker. He's going to get $16.5 million, and they'll have a special sit down as well with the man himself, Sammy Sosa. All of it can be heard on The Score and the Odyssey app. So a lot to look forward to in that regard. And the way that the offseason has gone here so far for the Cubs and the excitement that's there for the season to come, part of that tinged with the idea that the division itself can be had. You know, we've seen the Brewers move on from some talent. We see the Cardinals in a position where they're not really acquiring much of note here. I'll say this. I fell into this trap last offseason with the Cubs where I didn't have a big issue with some of the holes that hadn't been filled yet going into last spring training, because the division didn't look impressive on paper last year either. And the Cubs spent some money going into last season, and the talent that they acquired and the idea that they would be in position to continue to spend and acquire more talent, I actually felt pretty confident about where the Cubs would be at going into 2024. And, you know, first month, kind of middle through, second month, took off a little bit, and then they just fell off a cliff. And you know, they end up as an 83-win team, but they were out of it. They were out of the division race by midseason. I mean, well before the All-Star break, the Cubs seemingly had no pulse in the division title picture, and then shortly after the All-Star break, didn't seem like they had a lot of hope in the wild card either. The comfort I took last season was that I figured the division wasn't going to be strong enough to run away from the Cubs. And I was proven wrong very quickly. Now, my impression was that having Craig Counsell in as the manager was going to be able to make up whatever gap there might be. You know, the Cubs, if they had the best lineup and the best staff, the kind of the best combination collection of talent in the division last season, then there's no reason to think the division could run away from them, even if it was just comparable. If it wasn't definitively the best, it was comparable with Milwaukee and St. Louis. And yet and still, the division still ran away from the Cubs after acquiring the guy universally seen as the best manager in baseball. So I'm not falling into that same trap this year. I don't personally take any comfort in the idea that the Cubs, because of the division around them, will be in a position to stay in it and then acquire additional talent later. That's where I was a year ago at this time. I'm on this station. I'm talking to the other folks at the station, telling them, you know what, just wait. Just bide your time. There is no reason to be up in arms, no reason to get upset. There's more money available to spend, but they ain't got to spend it yet. Give it some weeks. Give it a few months. At least give it through spring training. Then when you come out of spring training, they're going to be right in the mix anyway. What's the rush? They're going to be fine. As long as they got that talent on the roster by September, they're good. Problem was, well before September, they were out of the picture. Can't have that happening again this season. Not this season. Not 2025. So I am hopeful, and I will continue to, in my way, press the Cubs to continue to acquire the necessary talent, to continue to bolster that bullpen, to continue to find more power in the lineup, to even enhance the starting staff. There are players available to be acquired, and that's where the Cubs should be, if not headed into spring training, but really by the time the season is beginning here. I'm hoping that they're not planning to sit on their hands at this point, because they experienced it in a lot more depth and detail than any of us did last year, how quickly the Brewers and the Cards, two organizations, two franchises in baseball, that on an annual basis, regardless of their manager, regardless of talent that's come in and out, regardless of how their farm system is perceived in a given year, they are constantly there looking to win the division, competing for division championships, outdueling the Cubs on a regular basis. And so this is not a situation where the Cubs should feel comfortable just sitting on their hands because they've made a couple of acquisitions here. So it's nice. They've got the pre-arbitration contract situation figured out with Kyle Tucker. He's going to get his 16 and a half. Keep working. Keep moving. There's more to do, because you don't want to be the squad that you were last year, where you get towards the All-Star break and the division has run away from you. I didn't think the division was going to be capable of it last year. I underappreciated how well-run the organizations in Milwaukee and St. Louis were. I overestimated the impact that Craig Counsell was going to be able to have. And, yeah, they spent money on that manager. That's an investment you want to see pay off. But you can't just count on that. And I would imagine that's a part of where the conversations between Craig Counsell, Jed Hoyer, and others have gone here, is where the Cubs can continue to. I mean, you want to spend smart money. There's no doubt about that. And they've been in the sweepstakes for a number of different players here. But in the end, if they're not winning the sweepstakes for those players, not even a finalist for some of those, then where do you really sit? How do you try to go about continuing to bolster this roster? You can't have the Cubs just sitting on their hands at this point. So we'll see where it goes from here, but that is my impression. At least that's my mea culpa from last year, because I told a lot of you frequently going into last baseball season that you can take heed. You can take some comfort in the idea that the rest of the division was not going to be good enough to run away from it, and the Cubs are going to be in a position to be right there, at least in the wild card, if not likely the division championship picture, and then they'd make some acquisitions. And lo and behold, division ran away from them. My bad. A lot of you tried to tell me. A lot of you weren't comfortable. But you tend to not be comfortable. That's part of the issue. Cubs fans in general here, I'd say over the last 15 years, maybe last 10 years, you operate in a position of discomfort. Anyway, never satisfied, always looking for more. But that's a part of what, for the franchise the Cubs are, for an organization with the resources available to the Cubs, and now with the recent history that's been there, the expectations should be high. They did their teardown. They've built back up. And now with those high expectations, they need to attack the roster in that way, not just expecting virtually everyone to play over their heads, which seemed to be the approach last season. All right? So you didn't get Sasaki. Go get somebody else. Stay in this thing. We'll talk some more baseball later in the show. Talk some more baseball actually in a bit here, but I'm going to focus a lot of the conversation that I'll have with my guy Luke Kanellis on where things sit with the Bears, with the roster of players that's here. How desirable of a job is the Bears by comparison to some of the others that are still open around the National Football League? And how does he evaluate some of these I suppose I'll call them candidates for the Bears head football coach as they've been in the midst of their interview process. We'll do that next here. Luke Nellis of Fox 32. We'll talk some Bears. I'm Anthony Herron. You can reach me on social at Big Ant Herron. Robbie Triano on the other side of the glass for me this evening. This is Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You want your coach to be like offensive-minded, or you want him big picture?
I want him.
And then have the coordinators.
Like selfishly, I want an offensive-minded guy, so I can build with him and, you know, be with that coach for the next 17, 15 years.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app is Anthony Herron.
That was audio from the St. Brown Brothers podcast. Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Bears quarterback Caleb Williams. Their podcast has gotten quite a big bump from Chicago listeners. I mean, it's a good podcast in general. They do a fine job, but having Caleb Williams on there, you got the USC tie between Caleb and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Of course, Equanimeous St. Brown, former member of the Chicago Bears. So a lot of intermingled sort of relationships that are there. And we'll actually get to some more audio from the podcast a bit later in the show also. But for now, let's go out to the Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Talking to my guy Cat Feet, Lou Kanellis of Fox 32 with me right now on the Score. What's happening, Lou?
What's up, Big Gabe? Missed you last Sunday.
Yeah, no, man. We spend every weekend together throughout the entire football season, and it's been a minute since we've had the opportunity to kind of extend those Sundays into the postseason here with the Bears, but hopefully bigger and better things on the way. This coaching search that the Bears are in the midst of, I guess there's kind of two schools of thought on this thing for how, you know, the Bears are going about it. Are they better off since they did get a head start on it? They fire a head coach during the season for the first time ever. So should they have already sort of compiled their list of candidates and, you know, decided exactly the type of guy they want and have this shorter list? Or does it make sense to cast a really wide net and sort of sift through what you like and what you don't like about some of the potential candidates available to them? Like which version of that do you think makes more sense?
You know what? I've gone back and forth on this topic, and I want the Bears to name a head coach immediately so they can start putting a staff together. You understand the value of a staff. It's not just about the head coach. He needs assistant coaches, his coordinators, before other teams scoop up the best candidates to be your offensive and defensive coordinators. Then having said that, I understand, Big A, why they want to go through a thorough search, leave no stone unturned. Remember the Bears, when they hired Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles was criticized. Okay, I get it that George McCaskey and Ted Phillips at that time, you know, they basically vetted through 20 candidates. And then when Ryan Poles was hired, they said to Poles, by the way, here, we've talked to 20 guys, and here are the three best candidates we feel you should make a decision on. Matt Eberflus, Jim Caldwell, and Dan Quinn. Kevin Warren wasn't even with the team back then. So I understand now that with Warren involved, the list is extensive. It's more than just about the game of football. It's about business. It's about handling the media, which is why so many different individuals are part of these interviews. Whether you like it or not, that's the way the Bears are going to run it. And now I'm at the point, Big A, where I just want them to get the right guy. I think they're the beneficiaries of a number of good candidates out there and not a lot of open jobs.
And the coaching cycle will certainly churn every offseason. Teams are going to fire guys. Yeah, there's only 32 of these jobs on the planet for NFL head coach, but, you know, you tend to have some openings every single year. So for Ben Johnson specifically and the success that he's had in Detroit, I mean, how likely do you think it is that he would seriously consider staying with Detroit for another year? Do you think it matters, some of these jobs that are available right now? I mean, usually a coach is going to get fired because his team wasn't having success. But, you know, Ben Johnson was willing to stay in Detroit after having interest last offseason. Do you think he would seriously consider doing that again here? Or is the guy who's, again, the hottest name on the market, is he going to end up choosing a head job?
I think he's made it clear to enough people out there that he's ready to make the move, that he's discussed it with his wife, family-wise. They're ready to make the jump. I think he's discussed it with his head coach, Dan Campbell, who told the media yesterday that actually he met with the media and then was going to talk to Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn to see how their interviews went. And in Ben Johnson's case, listen, he's the, what do they call her? The bride of the ball. He's the prize. Okay. He's first on my list. Okay. For the Bears job. I'd love to see him run this offense, come in here. I get it. 38 years old, young, has never held the head coaching position before, but I think he's such a great creative mind. I've seen this offense the last 3 years. You look at what he's done with a guy like Jared Goff, and Goff's numbers have just gone, I mean, through the roof. Goff was he was okay, was in L.A., and then suddenly, you know, as his offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, this guy in 2022 had a really good passer rating of 99, 23, 98. And then this past season, his passer rating was just off the charts. You've seen what he's done with Jared Goff in that Detroit offense. And then when you consider, all right, what's his other option? I mean, if you're really going to look at, if he's going to put himself in a great position, and I agree with Kevin Warren. The Bears' job is the most enviable job out there because of free agent money that they have, because of draft capital, and because of just pure talent on the roster, and hopefully a franchise quarterback. But when you compare the Bears to the Raiders, and you really think about the Raiders, and I get it, the GOAT is there, and Tom Brady is going to convince him, blah, blah, blah. They are far more unstable in Vegas than the Bears. And I heard an interesting stat that 2001, okay, 24 years ago, Anthony, was the last time a Raiders coach finished his fourth season with the organization. And that was John Gruden. That does not scream stability to me. If that's what Ben Johnson was sitting out for, that is not stability. And they don't have a quarterback right now. So what in the hell are you going there for? Why? Because is Tom Brady going to throw a jersey on and play quarterback in Allegiant Stadium? I don't think so.
Yeah, I love that observation because in the end, you know, I'll talk a little bit more a little later in the show, just kind of comparing and contrasting some of the open jobs right now. And there are some jobs like the Dallas Cowboys where you could say, all right, you've at least got a proven veteran quarterback and Dak Prescott and Jacksonville. You know, the Trevor Lawrence has already earned his second contract. He's got the bag. But the jury will still be out about how great Trevor Lawrence truly is at this point. So you've kind of got a number of different options there. For the Bears, there is the potential for Caleb Williams that sits there. But it sounds like you think by comparison to some of the other openings, throw the Jets in the mix, you mentioned the Raiders, you think the Bears are the best job that a coach could end up pursuing right now.
Market-wise, founding franchise, I get it. The track record for this franchise lately, since Mike Ditka was around, has not been great. Hasn't even been average. And we don't have to go over how many playoff appearances and playoff wins this team has had over the last two decades. But I think given Caleb Williams, and you and I agreed that we saw enough growth from a kid who played in 37 college games and then was thrown into a baptism of fire in his rookie season when his offensive coordinator was fired midway through, his head coach was fired, and Thomas Brown was suddenly elevated to head coach. I mean, imagine what the kid was going through. And by the way, he played in front of one of the worst offensive lines in football and was sacked 69 times this season, which is fourth most, I think, in NFL history, if I think back to the numbers. I mean, this guy's put in a tough position as a rookie. So we need to cut him a little slack. I thought he worked his ass off. He kept a great demeanor. I think that we need to give him the benefit of the doubt. Was he Jaden Daniels this year in his rookie season? Absolutely not. Would I still, Lou Canellis, put my money on Caleb Williams being a better quarterback over the course of his career than Jaden Daniels? Yeah. If they get an offensive line and they get it together with a great coaching staff that can help educate and develop this quarterback, my money's on Williams.
Oh, I like that. And I always respect your confidence, whether it's you and me sitting in studio on Sundays or we're in there for the Bears Blitz with Cassie Carlson on Fridays. Your passion for the Bears and your confidence in what they're going to do always ends up shining through. Now, Mike McCarthy is a name of – we can consider him a proven commodity as a coach. He would certainly be an upgrade over where they've been in recent years. He's won a Super Bowl. He's put together a number of winning seasons with multiple franchises at this point. But you know, I am concerned that we've seen the peak of Mike McCarthy, which is impressive, but does not look like a guy who's maybe going to come in and start dominating the deepest division in football. How would you feel about the potential for the Bears hiring Mike McCarthy?
You know what? I've gone back and forth with McCarthy. And when I first heard the name, before, you know, he was able to even talk to the Bears, when Dallas rejected the ask by the Bears, I said, absolutely not. And then I look at his numbers. Okay, gone to a Super Bowl, won a Super Bowl. 12 playoffs in 18 seasons. Boy, I'd love to go to the playoffs 12 times in the 18 seasons I've been doing the Bears on Fox.
Right.
11 seasons with 10 or more wins. An offense in the top 10 in scoring 11 times, and a quarterback in the top 10 in passer rating 12 times. For Bears fans, those are numbers that we've never seen in this town. So why wouldn't we be okay with Mike McCarthy? At least he has a proven track record. He's not 73 years old like Pete Carroll. He's 61. So why have you given up? I'm going to throw the question at you. Why do you feel like we've seen the best of Mike McCarthy already?
I think between two different franchises, we've seen him win, and we've seen him do so at a pretty high level. We've also seen that he tends to plateau. And, you know, I think even by comparison to a Kyle Shanahan that seemed to have a kind of a deep hand in what was happening in Atlanta years ago as the offensive coordinator, helping lead them to a Super Bowl appearance in San Francisco, multiple quarterbacks, able to get them near or to the promised land. I think by comparison to a guy like that who doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, but has shown that he can push a team deep into the playoffs. I haven't seen a version of Mike McCarthy after having Aaron Rodgers, who was the best quarterback in football for the majority of the time Mike McCarthy had him in Green Bay, one truly deep playoff run, one Super Bowl championship and appearance there. In the time in Dallas, Dak Prescott, credit to Mike McCarthy as a guy who was able to continue to enhance the development of Dak Prescott, but no deep playoff runs there either. So I'd say by comparison to the potential for trying to take a big swing at a guy who can come into this division and maybe compete with guys who were in their first time as a head coach, like Kevin O'Connell, Matt LaFleur. Both of them have knocked it out of the park in their first jobs. Dan Campbell knocking it out of the park his first time as a head coach. I don't compare Mike McCarthy with any of them where they're at this stage in their career and say, while Mike McCarthy would upgrade the Bears, I don't know that he vaults them ahead of any of those coaches and any of those organizations in the division. Now, we've got tangible evidence and resumes of recent years of Mike McCarthy and what he's done by comparison. And I don't see Mike McCarthy being a coaching upgrade over those guys by comparison at the moment. So, I wouldn't throw a fit if the Bears hired Mike McCarthy. He would certainly upgrade where they've been. But if they had a chance to get a Ben Johnson, who you've got a chance to kind of maybe swing for the fences with a guy like that who's shown what he has as a coordinator, that would be my preference. I suppose that's where I'm at with it.
That's exactly where I'm at as well. Okay, when I first heard McCarthy's name, I said, absolutely not. Now that I've had the chance to sleep on it a few days, I've said, well, if I have to – listen, Vrabel was my number one, even right ahead of Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
Then I said, Ben Johnson, if I lose out on Ben Johnson, now what are my options? Mike McCarthy, Pete Carroll, Brian Flores, Todd Monken, Aaron Glenn – then I'm more apt to say, okay, McCarthy's next on my list.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair way to look at it. I was talking about Cubs convention in my first segment on the air here, and that's, of course, going to go on this weekend. We've seen the Cubs make some moves, and, they should be far more competitive in the division than they were able to be for the majority of the last baseball season. Part of that is by some of the moves they've made, but part of it largely is just the fact that the rest of the division hasn't made major moves either. But, of course, the chief storyline is Sammy Sosa and the fact that he's now back in the fold. He'll be headlining Cubs convention and back in Chicago this weekend. We all know, part of the news that was made last year, and you got a chance to interview Sammy when he came back into town. Do you feel like your interaction with Sammy was a part of what may have, I don't know if force the hand is the right word, but at least put it more on the radar of Sammy Sosa, of the Chicago Cubs, to truly get this gap bridge to kind of get him back into the fold here with the organization?
I don't know. Not necessarily. I think it was in the back of his mind when I talked to him that morning, and he admitted to me during the interview that he had made some mistakes, which led to my follow-up, and what kind of mistakes are those? Are you willing to admit? And so I think it was in the back of his mind when he made the trip to Chicago. He hadn't been in town for a number of years when he did another radio show here in town. He was here for the autograph session that took place in Rosemont. So I believe that when he came to town, he had it in the back of his mind that, man, life would be so much easier if I just, came clean and apologized for my mistakes. He still hasn't admitted whether he's done, performance-enhancing drugs, steroids or not. And frankly, at this point, I don't care. I'm glad he's part of the family again, truly. The excitement that he brought to the North Side, I remember going into that whole clubhouse at Wrigley Field. He would hold court there. The guy always had a smile on his face. The home run chase obviously was something I'll never forget as a baseball fan. And I'm just truly thankful that Tom Ricketts has said, you know what? It's enough. You admitted you made a mistake. Let's bring him back into the fold. And I think that this is the beginning of what's going to be a really cool season on the North Side with the Cubs. The Tucker move, I just absolutely love. I'm happy he got his $16.5 million today. They didn't have to go to arbitration. And I hope nothing more than that these two sides can work on a long-term deal. I saw Jed Hoyer in one of the podcasts recently, just actually earlier today, and he admitted that letting Kyle Schwarber go was a big mistake on his part. I think he's a man who's learned by his mistakes. I hope he doesn't let Kyle Tucker go, no matter what it costs. You know what? You're the Cubs. Play like the big boys. I don't want to hear that he's going to the Dodgers, Yankees, or Mets.
Yeah, you got some of these teams in the sport that just seem to have a never-ending bankroll when it comes to trying to enhance their roster. It'd be nice for the Cubs. They might spend more money than some, but you want to see them swimming with those big fish in the deep end of the pool, too. Well, looking forward, as always, to seeing you next time we get a chance to work together. So I figured I'd at least take advantage of this chance to chop it up with you on this evening, man. Great stuff, as always, Lou, and look forward to talking to you again soon, my friend.
Love it, buddy. Great to talk to you. And by the way, I don't know if you saw the new unis that the Cubs are sporting, but we'll have it. I'll have it on set with me tonight on the news at 9. They just dropped it off. They're pretty cool. I wonder if I can keep it. I got to call my man John Steinmiller with the Cubs and say, hey, do I have to give this back or can I keep it?
I'm sure you'll still fill it out very well, man. I get to sit next to you. I know you can fill out a suit, a uniform, whatever it is, man. You're going to fill it out nicely. So I'm looking forward to watching that on Fox 32.
All right, man.
That's my guy, Lou Kanellis. You can find him on social at Lou Kanellis, sports anchor over at Fox 32. Make sure you check him out this evening. He apparently will have his hands on the new Cubs unis that they'll be sporting this season. A lot to look forward to there. I do want to keep the Bears conversation rolling here as well, though. And in comparing the Bears' job, part of the conversation that Lou and I were just having there was about the Bears' job in comparison to some of the other openings that are there around the National Football League right now. Very curious how you see the Bears opening. Give me a call, 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. You will hear the voice of Robbie Triano, and he will get you set to put you through with me, because I'm going to tell you where I see the Bears' job, this opening they have for the head coach, by comparison to some of the others around the National Football League. You can let me know that. Give me your thoughts on that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
And now, live on 670 The Score and on the Odyssey app, is Anthony Herrick.
And you can find me on social at Big Ant Herrin. Over 2 hours to go with you here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. I put the question out there in the previous segment after talking to my guy Lou Kanellis from over at Fox 32. About the Bears coaching job and just the comparison between the Bears and some of the other jobs that are open right now around the National Football League, like the Cowboys job currently available after they did not agree to terms with Mike McCarthy, let's call it. He and Dallas didn't reach an accord. That'll be my word of the evening here. Jacksonville job open, looking for a coach. Jets looking for a coach. Raiders, of course, all the controversy around Tom Brady. Saints trying to find a head coach as well. Where do you put the Bears in the mix with these other opportunities, these other open head coaching gigs that are there around the National Football League? 312-644-6767. Hit me up on this particular topic. Let's get out to the phone lines here for a moment. Jerry is out on the interstate on a car phone right now on Score Evening.
How you doing?
What's happening, Jerry?
Well, I got 3 points, and then I'll listen to what you think about them. First of all, we have a guy in charge of polls who basically doesn't know how to judge talent. I mean, he's putting Velus Jones in the backfield over Khalil Herbert. He's going out and getting this offensive line, who Caleb Williams is shell-shocked being sacked so much. Secondly, the stuff that happens on the field with Stevenson on the corner, and nothing really happens to the guy. But the thing that I'm most concerned about, and how it's really not, it's a tough job to take, is you got the Lions in the division, you got the Vikings in the division, and you got the Packers in the division. And it's almost like we're starting from scratch, because Poles has not put a team on the field that really can compete. There are so many holes on this team. We need a rusher on one side. We need a three technique. We need four offensive line players. we need just a running back that's not like Pinky Gentry that's going to explode through the hole. Well, you know, we had an opportunity to get guys. We're giving away guys. I just don't understand how they're in love with Poles, and now we're going to go and pick a guy who, you know, who knows what's going to go on.
I appreciate it. That's especially one of the late points that was made there about the division itself by Jerry the Caller. I think that's a valid observation. And, you know, all these coaches who are pursuing a head job in the NFL right now, they're all going to have these type A personalities. They're all going to be really confident in their ability to lead a franchise, to develop a quarterback, whether it's their first job or if they've done this before. But, you know, by comparing this division, the teams you'll be facing, I could certainly see where that would weigh on the mind of a coach coming in here and thinking that you're going to face the Detroit Lions and where they're at right now with Jared Goff really just entering his prime and Dan Campbell being, you know, one of the hot coaches in the National Football League. Matt LaFleur just winning season after season in Green Bay. And while Minnesota, a question mark for what's going to happen at quarterback next year. Sam Darnold not able to seize completely that opportunity. Final game of the regular season, one and done in the postseason here. Just didn't look like the guy who, you know, was for a stretch of time in that MVP conversation from the regular season. Kind of turned back into a pumpkin at the end of things there. So if they move on from Darnold, you're going to have a first-round quarterback in J.J. McCarthy in the waiting. But we've seen what Kevin O'Connell and what that Vikings organization is capable of in recent years, sort of regardless of the quarterback. So it is the deepest division in football, and there's no reason to expect that that's going to change anytime in the seasons to come. So it will be a challenge for whomever comes in to take over as the Bears' next head coach. But you do have a lot of promise on the roster. That promise begins at the quarterback just coming out of his rookie season. Like I mentioned, we're going to hear some of the audio from Caleb Williams, more of it from the St. Brown Brothers podcast. And I went and experienced something this afternoon that I want to relate to some sports figures here in the city of Chicago. I'll get to that later in the show as well, because it really did put me in the mind of how this can maybe encapsulate where some Chicago sports figures are at right now. But for the moment, take a time out, come back, get into some Bulls conversation with one of our favorites, one of your favorites, the voice of the Chicago Bulls, Chuck Swirsky, will be with me next on The Score.